This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome again to the official EFL podcast, previewing and reviewing the best of the match action across the EFL and its competitions. On this edition of the show, we'll be focusing on the penultimate weekend of the regular season across all three divisions with Sky Sports EFL pundits Andy Hinchcliffe and Don Goodman. Firstly though, we're talking to a former EFL star who's taking on the London Marathon this weekend. That man is a veteran of 738 pro games for six different EFL clubs. Richie Humphreys, some say you would have gone through enough playing all those matches, as well as going through an Ironman as well last year. What's possessed you to now go and do this London Marathon?
Well, really, to make it for awareness, for fundraising, for different charities. I thought that it was something I wanted to do when I finished playing, was to obviously, you know, stay healthy, stay fit. But also, there's several challenges that I've taken on so far. I've managed to raise some money for like Sheffield Children's Hospital and cancer research. And so this time, you know, I was wanting to do a lot of fundraising and making awareness for MIND, the mental health charity. And I think we're talking about it more in society, I think, and in particular within football and, working for the PFA, we see players on a daily basis in clubs and a lot of ex-players as well who have suffered through mental health throughout their career and are now openly talking about it.
Just tell us how the training and the preparation is going for you at the moment ahead of the marathon.
Training as well started obviously, you know, prior to Christmas was just making sure I was getting out regular, doing, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles. And then really after Christmas was building the miles, you know, each week, building, chucking an extra mile on. So building through to like half marathon distance. I managed to get myself up to about 16 miles. I then was on holiday and incorporated a half marathon run, a race whilst I was away. So I did another kind of race rather than a longer run. And then since then, it's been a couple of weeks and I'm kind of now just tapering down this week. So not doing many miles this week, but I hope I'll be ready to go on the morning.
Yeah, I mean, how does it compare to, you know, your playing days, the training? Obviously, I bet it's a bit more solitary, I suppose, in comparison to training with, you know, your teammates.
That's exactly true, yeah. A lot of the times it's either up early before work, maybe trying to get out on a lunch hour, or even worse, I suppose, through the winter when you are training for a marathon that's in the spring in this country, that you've got to get out when it's dark and it's cold and it's windy and wet. And it is, yeah, unless you have a local running group or local running club, they're all doing, you know, kind of the same thing. You've got to get out there and get the miles in. It is different to being involved in a team sport. It's a totally different kind of training as well. This time last year when I was training for the Ironman event, I played in a charity football match and straight away noticed the difference in the type of training. And, you know, I'd not been a footballer for about a year and a half and came up off the charity match with a bit of a calf strain because of the type of training. You know, you're always on your toes when you're playing football, you're sprinting, you're jumping, you're turning, whereas the longer running or the cycling or the swimming, obviously, it's a longer based endurance event. So I noticed the difference in training, you know, almost immediately. So I stayed away from kicking a ball around, in particular building up to the marathon.
And like you mentioned, it's all for a good cause, of course. How important is it that we continue to raise awareness of people with of mental health and support those who suffer with the problems?
Well, I think it's extremely important. Like I said, the industry I've been involved in since I left school, it was obviously football. And up until, you know, the last 2 years, we haven't really seen players and people within clubs talking about with mental health and their well-being, and that is changing. But that's also come with a shift in society that people are changing about it. Friends and family members discuss how they are a lot more, I think, in depth, and asking a friend, you know, if they're okay, and asking them again to make sure they are okay. I think that willingness to talk and to speak about mental health and anxiety and well-being is extremely important. So the raising of the awareness and the education, first and foremost, but also the fundraising to help people that require it. And, you know, for the footballers, you know, we have the 24/7 helpline that the PFA have put on a support network. So that's really key, that there's always going to be somebody at the end of the phone for the players. And in a wider society, as I said, that there are organisations, and obviously the Mind that I'm running for are doing a fantastic job in trying to, you know, raise awareness and fundraising to help them more.
How important is the cause to you personally? Because most people, you know, either have experience of having mental health problems or know someone close to them that also, you know, maybe has mental health problems themselves.
It's extremely important. I mean, I now know, now I'm a retired footballer, that some former teammates did have, you know, anxiety and stress and panic when they were playing, which caused them a lot of issues at the time. And, you know, I think you can only look back at your own career and think that maybe at this time or that time, you know, I would have my own mental health problems. And again, with friends and family, I think it's important to have an understanding. So the importance is there. So the awareness and the education is spreading, and people are talking more openly. There's more work to do, but we're on the right path.
How vital is it, though, specifically in football, that, you know, those who do need the help, you know, get the help and talk to people, you know, because, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who aren't talking about these problems that they may have.
Yeah, I think, well, for ourselves, with, you know, looking after the players and the, you know, us as the players' union and the clubs are interacting, and we've had two annual conferences now which we've held at St George's Park, where lots of people within the industry have been and attended. We've had ex-players speaking openly about the help they needed, the help they got, and the constant battle. So the importance of being able to speak openly, and Michael Bennett, our head of welfare, it's a great line that if you had a knee injury as a footballer, you'd go straight off the training pitch or off the match to go and see the physio. And if you have a mental health problem, it's exactly the same. You need to go and speak to somebody and get some help.
Yeah, I mean, tell us about your current role now. You mentioned it there in terms of working with the PFA. You were previously chairman of the PFA, of course. Just tell us how it sort of like it all, you know, incorporates together in a sense of, you know, what you're trying to do now in terms of, you know, helping players.
Yeah, well, we have different departments. So obviously the wellbeing department, as I said, is headed up by Michael Bennett. We have an education department, you know, for players that need to further education, continue learning, ready, you know, in preparation for that transition when they will go into a second career. And that's vitally important. I myself work in the delegate liaison department. So I've got 18 clubs, which I look after. So I liaise between the PFA and the players themselves. So I go out and speak to the players, whether that's the first team or the under-23s or the scholars, and deliver about what the PFA can do for them now when they're current members. And when they're, like myself, now an ex-member, but will be a member for life and can access the various services that the PFA has to offer.
Just now coming on to your old club, Sheffield Wednesday, I mean, they had a difficult start to the season, didn't they? But, you know, they look to be on the right track now under Steve Bruce. How impressed have you been with Steve Bruce and how he's sort of turned things around at the club?
Well, exactly that, he has. And the results have been very, very, very good since Steve came in. I think they've kept a lot of clean sheets. They've won some games, and up until a couple of weeks ago, did have a real good shot of making the playoffs. So things are boding well. And hopefully, you know, again, like we can have a good push next season, because it was only a couple of seasons ago that they were really close to getting back into the Premier League.
And of course, on the other side of the city, I mean, you grew up yourself a Blade. How much have you been impressed by what Chris Wilder has done at Sheffield United, and how good is it to see them, you know, maybe on the verge of a return to the Premier League themselves?
Well, he's done a fantastic job, hasn't he? It's absolutely amazing to think that they're not far away from getting back into the Premier League. And throughout the time that both Sheffield clubs have been, you know, outside of the Premier League, you know, myself and other Sheffielders around would love to see one, if not both, clubs back into the Premier League. And so the work that Chris has done, the players, the backroom staff, the recruitment, you know, it's what the supporters have wanted. They're close. There's still work to do, obviously, but they've put themselves in an incredible position, particularly with winning both games over Easter. So they're in a strong position, and I've got a lot of friends and family that are both sides of the city. So for those in red and white, the next couple of weeks is going to be interesting for them.
Yeah, what is it like for you to have the connections to both clubs? I mean, do you get a lot of grief from both sets of supporters, or is it all love in Sheffield? Is it all sort of, I don't know, is there no animosity towards you?
Not that I'm aware of. for Sheffield lad to have been able to play for one of his hometown teams is an incredible achievement, great honour for me, for my friends and my family. Like I said, our family split between Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday. And so all my friends from school and people that I've got to know as I've got older. My dad and my granddad took me to Bramall Lane, and that's the team I supported as a kid. So, playing for one club, and now go to games at either side of the city. So watching both Sheffield teams is great, but, you do have to choose one team to support, and mine was Sheffield United.
Finally, just tell us how people can sponsor you and get behind your London Marathon experience.
On Twitter, at Richie Hunt, it's my pinned link. My pinned tweet, rather. There's a link on there for the Mind charity, or you can go to Virgin Money Giving and type in Richie Hunt, and the page will come up. And if there's any donations, it would be greatly received, and I would really appreciate it.
And for more information, of course, you can head to our website, EFL.com. Richie, thank you very much for speaking to us, and good luck in the London Marathon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
EFL Fixtures in Focus.
Yes, it's the penultimate weekend of the EFL regular season, and to talk us through some of the key fixtures are Sky Sports pundits Andy Hinchcliffe and Don Goodman. Andy, starting with you, you're at Sheffield United against Ipswich. How confident will Chris Wilder's team be feeling after their two wins over Easter?
Well, things have gone absolutely perfectly for them. They've taken care of their own business in terms of beating Forest, beating Hull, two wins, two clean sheets. And they probably always knew that Leeds going to Brentford was going to be a tough game. But it's that defeat to a 10-man Wigan that was the big surprise. I'm sure Chris Wilder didn't see that coming. Leeds probably certainly didn't see that coming. So that one result must have given them a huge lift. But the important thing is they concentrated on winning their games. That's all they could do, and hope that maybe things went against Leeds. We didn't expect it to happen against Wigan, but it did. So they put themselves in this position, even though Leeds have kind of fallen away a little bit or lost those two games. If Sheffield United hadn't won their games, they wouldn't be in this position. So I'm sure Chris will say to his players, look, we've worked hard, we've got ourselves into this position, things have fallen for us, let's take advantage. And a home game against a relegated side is perfect for them.
A win almost, more or less, guarantees promotion. How important is it that they remain calm, though, especially in looking at how Leeds handled a similar pressure last weekend?
Yeah, well, they should be fine, because you've got to remember, of course, they were promoted from League One a couple of seasons ago. Now, that was a bit different in terms of the promotion pressure, because they kind of led the way there. This has been different. They've been trying to play catch up. But of course, Chris is a very experienced coach. That squad is experienced as well. It's been through kind of the rigors of getting promoted. There won't be any complacency, and they've got a game plan. They've stuck to it all season long. Well, it's been in kind of the three or five at the back has been evident for a long, long time now. So nothing's going to change in terms of the formation or really the personnel. Might be a couple of players back from injury, which will help as well. But there'll be absolutely no complacency, because, again, they've been through this before. Before that Forest game, they had to win it. Before the Hull game, they had to win it. And they just played their normal game and kept a lid on their emotions. And that's what you have to do. And that is the big challenge when you're in this position. It's not getting carried away, doing anything silly, getting someone sent off. You just don't see Sheffield United doing that. I think the squad is too experienced, and Chris will certainly have drummed it into his players that we need to keep a lid on our emotions and get the job done.
So you don't believe then that there may be a false sense of security, maybe playing a team that have already been relegated in Ipswich?
Absolutely not. There's no way Chris Wilder or Sheffield United would underestimate any team that they're playing. Of course, it can be tricky playing against a relegated side. Again, the atmosphere will be brilliant as well. So if Ipswich relax and play, but ultimately why they've been relegated to Ipswich is they're not a great side, pretty young side as well. I just feel they could get caught up in the emotion of the day. It won't affect Sheffield United. It could affect Ipswich. But I just don't see, again, any complacency at all. Regardless of who they were playing, top or bottom of the league, their attitude will be the same.
And Billy Sharp, a player who's had such an impact this season, could be back for this match here. How fitting would it be for him to be involved in a promotion celebration after the season he's had?
That's pretty much the icing on the cake for Billy and for Chris Wilder as well, being Blades fans, how hard they've worked, what they've given the club, the connection with the fans as well. It's the perfect script, really. Getting promoted is what it's all about, but getting your hometown club, the club you support, to the Premier League for a coach and for your centre forward, it just doesn't get any better than that. But it's not happened by accident. They've worked incredibly hard. And when you're a fan of the team that you're playing for, you do have to remember you're a professional. You can't get caught up and think like a fan. You do have to think like a professional. But these two are really experienced as a coach, as a player. And they have had, clearly, Chris has had a huge effect on the team. But even Billy in the dressing room as well, you'd feel with his experience, will have had a huge influence on that team. And they've been through kind of all this before with promotion. But getting to the Premier League is completely different from getting to the Championship. So, yeah, it's like a Hollywood script, really, for Chris Wilder and for Billy Sharp.
Don, of course, it's not just Leeds who'll be wanting Sheffield United to drop points. Norwich as well could be champions on Saturday night if they better the Blades result. How much will they be itching to get over the line themselves, a second chance to earn promotion?
Well, second, third, fourth chance, really, in reality. I mean, four draws after the run they've been on was not what they would have hoped for, particularly against, sort of, you know, with respect, Reading were struggling at the time, although they've since gone on a really good run. Wigan, obviously, we know, down there. But having said all of that, the most important thing is that they're oh so close. I mean, they need one point. And you've got to remind yourself, they need one point. This is a team in Norwich. They have not lost a game of football in the last 12. They've lost only one game in the last 19. So, it's inconceivable that they can't get the point that they need. You know, having said all of that, having been the best team for the majority of the season, they would want to seal it with the title as well. But first things first, it is about getting that point and getting themselves over the line.
Andy, you know, Norwich are coming up against a team, you know, not much to play for in Blackburn, but they're in red-hot form themselves. That could make it interesting, couldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose if you said to Daniel Farke and the Norwich players, who would you want to play in this game, you probably wouldn't choose Blackburn because you say that the form that they're in. But people are looking at Norwich and have they bottled it? Are things going wrong? They've drawn their last four games. I've seen all of them. They've not played badly in any of them. They could have won all of them. So, and they always play to win as well. So I know they only need a point on Saturday, but they always play on the try and get on the front foot, play to win. So they've just got, again, like Sheffield United, you've just got to approach it in your own way, not worry too much about the opposition. But I also think the fans as well, that yellow wall of Norwich fans, are going to act as a bit of a 12th man, and that will get them over the line. There's been a couple of opportunities to get promoted away from home in front of their own fans. I'm sure they'll actually get the job done this Saturday.
Yeah, Don, Andy sort of mentioned there, you know, four games without a win, Norwich. Is there any concern for them? I mean, it is likely that they should really go up as champions, shouldn't they?
Well, the interesting thing is that actually if Sheffield United, let's not forget they play before Norwich, if they win, they go top of the table. Now, when was the last time Norwich City weren't at the top of the table? So it will add a little bit more pressure to the equation for Norwich City in terms of a title win. But one thing, like I said, I said it before, one step at a time, they must make sure that they get the point. I think they're up against the Blackburn team that, despite the fact that they have won four games in a row, the most impressive win was against Derby County, who have not been so good away from home. So when you analyse the other games that they've had against the teams that are up there, since Christmas they've lost against Sheffield United, Leeds, Bristol City, Middlesbrough and Aston Villa. So I just feel that they are that notch below that in terms of quality, those teams that I've just mentioned. And I would be absolutely shocked if Norwich City don't get the point that they need at the bare minimum.
Yeah, Andy, would you say that Norwich deserve to go up as champions despite the recent dip in form based on, you know, the season as a whole?
It's that's a really tough one. I think it's probably a toss of a coin between Norwich and Sheffield United. I think at the start of the season, Sheffield United were certainly predicted to finish above Norwich. I remember speaking to Stuart Webber, and he was said at the start of the season, they were looking for maybe a top 10 finish, possibly the playoffs if things go really well. And here they are, top of the table, a point away from promotion to the Premier League, fully deserved as well. And you've got to remember, they've achieved what they've achieved this season, playing some really brilliant attacking football. So whether it be Sheffield United or Norwich, whoever finishes top of the pile will fully deserve to win the title. But in a way, because of what was expected from Norwich at the start of the season, I would say they probably deserve to win the title, just that kind of 1% more than Sheffield United do.
Yeah, Don, you're covering Leeds against Aston Villa on the Sunday. A game, a massive match this, isn't it, in general, but could be even bigger if results go Leeds' way on Saturday, of course, despite the recent knockbacks that they've had.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're at that stage now where they are relying on slip-ups from, well, a slip-up from Sheffield United against Ipswich. I think they will acknowledge it's highly unlikely that that is going to happen, but they will wait and see. It's going to be interesting to see. We're not going to know this, obviously, until Sunday or Saturday night, but, interesting to see what both Leeds and Villa decide to do in the event that Sheffield United win this game. Whether they're going to, they've got a dilemma, haven't they? How strong do they go? They've got, in Villa's case, they've won 10 in a row. Do they try and extend that record, keep the feel-good factor going, or do they rest players up getting ready for the playoffs? It's an interesting dilemma, but we're only really going to know in terms of team selection, certainly for Leeds United, once they know what Sheffield United have managed to do. And I think looking at the interviews that Marcelo Bielsa gave after the defeat against Brentford, they are almost resigned to the fact that Sheffield United will beat Ipswich Town.
Yeah, I mean, you were at the Brentford match last week. Earlier this week, rather. Just how bitterly disappointed will that Leeds squad be after the Easter period as a whole?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be the Wigan game. Andy alluded to it earlier, didn't he? I mean, anybody can go to Griffin Park and lose. I mean, they are an exceptional team at Griffin Park. On their day, they can literally beat anybody. That wasn't a huge shock. The huge shock was Leeds losing against Wigan Athletic, after playing against 10 men from 14 minutes and onwards and taking the lead. That is just a shock of seismic proportions, really. And if Leeds don't manage to get automatically promoted, and it's looking very much like that, then that will be the game that they will look at and go, it was the moment that passed them by, unfortunately for them. Like we're saying, we keep saying it now, it's totally out of their hands. Disappointing thing was that there was a poor refereeing decision that they will reflect on, perhaps, and say, had they been awarded a penalty and taken the lead, then the game at Brentford may have been different. It wasn't. They were good for the first 25 minutes, but after that, they were beaten by a much better team on the day, unfortunately, for Leeds United.
I mean, you mentioned it earlier, but Villa are on that incredible run of form. Just what's needed, I suppose, ahead of a guaranteed playoff campaign for them now.
Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? Really, that's what I'm talking about in terms of the dilemma. The playoff place is secured. There is a chance for them to actually leapfrog West Bromwich Albion, and therefore, if they would be able to do that over the course of the last two games, then they would have the advantage of having the second leg at Villa Park on home soil. So there is that to play for. There's also the dilemma as to, like we said, they've just broken this 109-year record of winning 10 games in a row, the whole football club. And, can they extend that to 11? I think what Dean Smith will be keen to avoid is losing to both Leeds United and Norwich City, which are two games that they could easily lose anyway. But I think they'll be keen to avoid that just so that they keep that feel-good factor going and that momentum going into what is going to be a very, very difficult playoff. I mean, I think we know three of the teams, but it's and even one of Bristol City, Derby County and Middlesbrough, they are going to be a tough opposition for the other three. So, there's still an awful lot of work to be done from an Aston Villa perspective. It's just about getting this conundrum, this juggling act and this decision-making right for Dean Smith.
And of course, this match here could be a dress rehearsal for a playoff final, maybe. How much would it mean for both clubs, huge clubs, to go up this season with all, you know, the hurt that the fans have gone through over the years?
Well, these are two just enormous, enormous football clubs. Leeds have had a lot. It's been a long, long, long time since they've been in the Premier League. Way, way, way too long. And of course, Aston Villa relegated, and then they've got the pain of losing to Fulham in last year's playoff final. They will not want to go through that again. I can promise everybody listening to this, it's just, it's the best way to get promoted, but it's just so painful when you lose in a playoff campaign, and they will not want to experience that again. But in terms of a dress rehearsal, I think we have to wait and see what happens in terms of the Sheffield United game. If by chance Ipswich do Leeds the favour and Leeds field a full strength team and Aston Villa decide that they want to continue this good form and field a full strength team, then I think we've got one hell of a game on our hands. But we're going to have to wait and see whether that's going to be the case.
Another hell of a game that we've got on our hands is Bristol City against Derby County the day before. And this match here, I mean, it's two big, you know, some big teams are in the contention for the playoff places. That, you know, some of them are going to miss out. I mean, this is a must win for both sides, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny how this kind of the Championship tends to do this throughout these games, when the game in hand for both Derby and Bristol City is against a fellow kind of playoff contender. I do get a feeling, though, that it is pretty much win or bust, possibly, in this game. And that maybe tends to maybe think it could be a bit conservative from both teams. Both teams afraid to lose rather than go for the win. And if it is a draw, we're going to be no nearer knowing who will make it going into that final game. And it kind of piles all the pressure onto the final game as well. And that's what tends to happen with teams kind of making that kind of push for a playoff place, is do you go into it genuinely on the front foot trying to win the game, or do you try to avoid losing it? That changes completely how you approach it. But you've got Middlesbrough, Sheffield Wednesday, not completely out of the mix as well. So we're looking at Derby, Bristol City in this game, and we're probably right to say this could be a decisive factor on whether those two make it into the playoffs. But don't be surprised if it's another side, because the Championship, as I say, it throws up these really strange stories.
Don, Derby's recent form, away form rather, being poor, does that make Bristol City favourites in this one?
Have you seen Bristol City's home record? You know, Bristol City, they've actually won more games and taken more points away from home than they have at home. So it's kind of another one of those crazy scenarios that the Championship has thrown up. Derby haven't been great away from home. They've won twice as many home games as away games. But, you know, it almost becomes a little bit of a cup final. For me, it's a must-win game for Bristol City. But I would dare to suggest that it's a must-not-lose game for Derby County. And I think Andy's right. I think it may be a little bit cagey, but there will come a point within the game where I think Lee Johnson will really have to go for it and take the shackles off.
Yeah, Andy, Lee Johnson has been knocking on the door for the playoffs over the last few seasons. Does it feel like this is their time, maybe, after those, you know, those previous setbacks?
It's kind of interesting, because you probably would have felt in seasons gone by they would have had a better chance. You've got to remember, you know, last summer they lost Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint. Okay, they got £17 million in for the pair of them, but they lost two of their kind of key men from the success of last season. So it's a real sign from that Lee Johnson's able to kind of, yes, of course, the club they're going to have to sell if that kind of money is as an offer. But then to kind of rebuild the team, but a kind of a newish team, and then again push for the top six, it's a sign that what a good coach Lee Johnson is. And yeah, it might well be this season. I didn't expect them maybe top 10, top half. I didn't expect them maybe to be or to have the consistency with all the other teams that were going to be challenging up there to actually see it through. And yeah, it's probably in seasons gone by, I would have rated their chances as better than this. But they're in a great position now. And as with that Derby game, what an opportunity to kind of pick up the 3 points and put themselves in pole position. But it's just whether they can handle the nerves.
Yeah, Don, another young English manager, of course, Frank Lampard, a lot of pressure on him to deliver at Derby. Do you believe he's handling that pressure?
I do. I think he's handled the pressure. I mean, I'm not sure he will feel that he's got pressure on his shoulders. You know, after all, it's his first job in football. The financial constraints have, you know, there's been a restriction. He hasn't been able to go out and spend millions and millions of pounds on players. In fact, the opposite. He had to use the loan market wisely. And, you know, when I look at the Derby County team of last season, it was a sort of very experienced, almost aged team that played in a totally different way. So he's had to really try and instill a different way of playing into them. He's had to integrate an awful lot of youth, and there's been so much more energy about Derby County. I think he's done an absolutely brilliant job. Of course, there's going to be disappointment if they don't. You know, they are in pole position in terms of reaching the playoffs. They have their destiny in their own hands, and they're the only ones that do at the moment. Well, I guess Bristol City do actually in terms of them beating Derby. But, you know, at the moment, Derby have got the points on the board. As I suggested, I think it's a must-not-lose game for them. But, no, I think he's done a brilliant job, Frank Lampard, and, you know, he's only going to become a better coach for this experience.
Skybet League One.
Moving on now to League One, and Andy, Luton v Burton. You know, Luton have got another team who could secure their promotion this weekend. How impressed have you been with the job that Mick Harford's done, well, continued rather as well, the work of Nathan Jones there?
Well, that's what Mick was looking to do, was all kind of the groundwork had been done by Nathan. You've got to remember, he wasn't sacked. He left to take up a position at Stoke, so obviously kind of moved on. And things were clearly right at Luton. So it can be when someone steps in, that the first thing they want to do is change things to kind of put their own stamp on the team or maybe the way the season's going to go. But Mick has done the right thing by actually keeping it the same, keeping the same approach. If it was working, we don't need to kind of change it in any way. Let's just carry on doing what kind of Nathan put in place. So that's what's most admirable, I think, about what Mick's done there. He's been able to say, well, you know, a lot of the work I didn't really do, but it's been put in place. It's successful. I'm just going to carry on doing it. The tricky thing is the Burton game away from home, could they cope with that? But I watched the Accrington game on a dreadful pitch, you know, a tricky game, came through that with flying colours as well. They've had such a consistent season that this will be the game when they clinch promotion, and they will fully deserve to go up.
Yeah, Don, I mean, Luton's form recently has been up and down after their incredible unbeaten run, of course, but surely promotion and the title is theirs now, isn't it?
Well, we always refer back to this P word, and it's pressure. And there is no reason whatsoever. They have been the best team. They have been the most consistent team. But that pressure scenario can do strange things to teams. I mean, who would have thought that they would have drawn 2-2 at home with lowly Wimbledon? And I say that with the greatest of respect after that brilliant away win at Accrington Stanley. I don't think anybody was seeing that. So I think Barnsley and Portsmouth in particular are there to take advantage of any Luton Town slip-up. You know, I'm looking at the table now, and if Luton do lose and Portsmouth and Barnsley both win, then it goes to the last game. I mean, obviously, there's a lot riding on Portsmouth's game away at Sunderland. So there's still an awful lot of football to be played. But I would dread to think the pressure that would be on the last game at home against Oxford if Luton were to lose and the other two were to win. So they will not take it for granted. They just have to have the self-belief and self-confidence that they've had for the whole entire season, because they are the best team in the league. You don't string those run of results together if you're not a really exceptional team. And I would expect them, although it won't be easy, I would expect them to go away to Burton Albion, who have lost the last couple of games, and clinch promotion.
Yeah, Andy, Don mentioned it there, a huge game with Portsmouth taking on Sunderland. The winner would have automatic promotion in their own hands. How much would it mean to both of these football clubs to gain promotion with their recent, you know, off the field and troubles and tough times that they've gone through?
Oh, it's hugely important, but I think the difficulty is when you've got big clubs like Sunderland and Portsmouth who've had kind of Premier League glory days, you want to start the move back towards that as quickly as possible. And sometimes that desperation, that need to kind of fulfil where you think the club should be can knock you off track. You can kind of get lost a little bit. And it's not easy to win games in League One. It's a very good footballing league. And also it's not easy when you're Sunderland and Portsmouth with the weight of the fan expectation behind you as well. So I'm not really surprised, but it can be incredibly difficult to maintain a kind of promotion run when you're such a big club and the fans are so desperate for you to get back to the Championship, maybe back to the Premier League one day. But it's I think it's testament to the coaches there, to the players that they're in a position. They're in a position to finish in the automatic places. It's been a brilliant race, actually, for promotion in League One. It's not finished yet, but what a huge game. Again, the EFL tends to throw up these huge games at key stages of the season. Sunderland Portsmouth is a giant game this weekend.
Yeah, Dom, Portsmouth, of course, have gone on, like you touched on, that incredible run of results and had an incredible Easter as well. Are they favourites in this one, despite it being at Sunderland?
Well, I saw Charlton beat Portsmouth not that long ago and be very, very impressive. And at that stage, I just figured that it was going to be 100% a playoff campaign for Portsmouth. But they've played so well and done so well and coped with the pressure to string another run of victories together, because they strung a real great run of victories together at the start of the season. It's just been a fantastic effort, I have to say. And it is in their hands. And alluding to the fact that the game is away at Sunderland, well, actually, Portsmouth, by far and away in League One, have the best away record. And they've taken more points away just quite by chance. But Sunderland at home, it is daunting. I mean, there will be an enormous crowd in there, literally backing Sunderland to the hill. So for me, you know, it's kind of almost flip a coin. Of course, the beneficiaries of the draw would be Barnsley. They would love a draw. But if Portsmouth can go there and win, I would expect Portsmouth to be the ones to prevail in terms of automatic promotion. But it all depends on, obviously, what happens on Saturday. I think Sunderland win, that they're still... It's a must-win for Sunderland. I mean, they're still... It's not in their own hands, is it? I think even if they do win, they're still, this is a game in hand. Even if they win, there'd be a point behind Barnsley. So, you know, Barnsley will have a keen eye on what's going to happen at the Stadium of Light, as well as having to take care of their own business. But it's absolutely finely poised. And I do think, and I must say this, I think the top five in League One are arguably collectively the strongest top five that League One has ever seen. I think all five teams have absolutely been sensational. So that's the high caliber that they've all been against, and that's why, you know, whoever does prevail, you need to doff your cap to them.
Skybet League Two.
Yeah, great race in League One for promotion, and another great race in League Two. Andy Tramier against Bury, another chance for Bury to earn promotion. Well documented off the field problems. How difficult is it to perform in a promotion race when there's that going on behind the scenes?
It's hard enough to perform in kind of mid-table. I remember being at Man City and Everton. We had managerial changes, or there were problems maybe at the board or with finances. And as players in the Premier League, you kind of knew what was happening and you tried to not let it affect your performances. But at smaller clubs like Bury, I'm sure the players are, well, everybody will clearly know each other, the board members. Everyone's a lot closer at the smaller clubs as well. So you're even more involved with the problems and what's happening there. So there'll be that desperation. Promotion, of course, financially could help Bury enormously. So the pressure is on the players, not just from a footballing point of view, but from a club's future point of view and all the staff that they will know very well as well. So it is a very difficult situation. We say it's very easy to say, just focus on the game and use the game as a way of kind of, it's kind of a relief to get away from all the pressures, the day-to-day pressures of what's going on around the club. So for that 90 minutes, you can maybe step away from that. But then you're in a promotion race as well against a Tranmere team looking to get promoted in the playoffs themselves. So it's a, however you turn for the Bury players, there's pressure from every angle. They seem to have handled it incredibly well so far this season. So fingers crossed, it's a club that's not far away from where I live. So fingers crossed that they're actually able to cope with that pressure and get the job done.
Yeah, Don, it is a tough task, isn't it, this for Bury against Tranmere? The promotion race in this division, you know, it's not done and dusted yet, is it?
Oh, good grief, no. I mean, 6 points to play for, between Bury, Mansfield and MK Dons, there's just the 1 point. So it literally is all to play for. I do think that the final game of the season actually is Mansfield against MK Dons, isn't it? So that should work in Bury's favour in terms of them taking points off each other. So it's in their own hands now. You wouldn't have thought that. Just, you know, they had certainly lost three in a row that I can recall off the top of my head. So those two wins that they've had in the last three games has really shown and highlighted the character within that club, you know, under very, very difficult circumstances. So I'm really pleased for Ryan Lowe and Bury that they've got themselves into this situation where their destiny is in their own hands. But make no mistake, it's not a given. Prenton Park is one of the most difficult places to go and win in League Two. So it's going to be one heck of a game.
One heck of a game, one heck of a weekend in the EFL to look forward to again. Andy, Don, thank you very much for your time this week. That's it from us. Join us again next time.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.